meaning and value of death in the light of Christ's crucifixion. The meaning and value of death in the light of Christ's crucifixion. We have been speaking about the following of Christ and of the imitation of Christ. Well, we are to follow him during his life, and we are to imitate him in the way he lived. But we are also, and with the resounding emphasis, to follow him to Calvary and to imitate him in his death. I will later cover these four areas of an immense subject. First, something about the importance of reflecting on our forthcoming death in the light always of the death of the Son of God on Calvary. Secondly, what is death? Thirdly, why do we die? And finally, and most practically, how should we profit from death? Evidently, how should we profit during life from our inevitable forthcoming death? First, then, the importance. We must all die. If there is one mystery on earth, it is the mystery of death. We've been defining mystery as that which is humanly inconceivable before revelation and humanly incomprehensible even after being revealed. People, authors, write about the mystery of death. That's no cliche. It is a mystery. However, as we've been saying regarding other mysteries of our faith, so here the mystery of death. Though it is a mystery, and therefore not comprehensible, it should not be unintelligible. It should make sense. We must know the meaning of death. Indeed, the more clearly we understand, and the word is understand, the divine meaning of death, the more our lives will be meaningful. This is not a clever saying. To understand death is to understand life. Behind that is, what for many people, well, is a platitude. We shall die as we have lived. God does, on rare occasion, work extraordinary miracles of conversion. Some of you have heard about President Calles of Mexico, remember? The great persecutor of the church some 60 years ago, among whose victims, I'm happy to report, was our own now blessed Michael Pro. Remember? Caius was a cruel persecutor of the church. But I got this from a priest who was there. Caius died in a Southern California hospital. And for the sacraments. I tell people, don't plan on it. You're still on the first question, the importance of death, and always against the backdrop of Christ's death on the cross. Our life after death depends on our life before death. This is our faith. And there is so much, oh, how much penetration of the most subtle but deceptive forms of Oriental, may God forgive them, mysticism into the Western world. He mentioned just in passing the New Age movement, which is a moniker for a whole bevy of the most bizarre, unchristian, anti-Christian philosophies. For us, there is only one life, one death, one judgment, and one life after death. Whatever we Christians do not believe in, it is reincarnation. So much for the importance. Briefly, what is death? Death, 100 possible definitions. But death is the cessation of the bodily functions of a human being through the departure of the soul. Death is the cessation of the bodily functions of a human being through the departure of the soul. When we die, our soul will leave the body. And having assisted so many people on their deathbed, I'm sure you've seen this yourself, a moment after a person dies, except for the body being still, the eyes closed, the body looks the same, the temperature begins to drop, but for a while even feels the same. And I'm told, even weighs the same. Quantitatively, materially, in terms of sense perfection, sense perception, the body is there. But we know the difference. The moment the soul leaves the body, there's a corpse. We are still on what is death. If and since the bodily functions cease, that is, of a human being, we say correctly, as the person has died, we should really say the body dies. A human person never dies. Our souls live on. And consequently, there is no trivial observation. Very well. When we die, our bodily functions cease. But the functions of our souls continue. Is that very important? Once God creates the soul, and the language of our faith is, the moment father and mother cooperate in the conception of a child, they provide the body. is I tell people the following things take place simultaneously. Fertilization of the ovum. Secondly, creation of the soul by God. Thirdly, infusion of the soul into that fertilized ovum. And then number four summarizes the first three, and that is human conception. Once that soul is created by God, and as the expression goes, infused into the body, the soul is naturally immortal. Do you hear it? The only way the soul could cease to exist is by annihilation. And we dare not think that God ever annihilates. It is contrary to faith for us to think that a human soul is ever annihilated. What then is death? It is indeed the cessation of the bodily functions, but the continuation of the spiritual functions, otherwise known as the functions of the soul. They continue. What are the two distinctive functions of the soul? The mind continues to think, and the will continues to desire. Remember that triad? Desire, choose, and love. Well, if that's death, our next question is why? Why do we die? Death, we believe, is a result of sin. The famous passage in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 5:12. Sin entered the world through one man, and through sin, death, hath St. Paul. Death of the body is the result of death of the soul. Separation of the soul from the body brought about the separation of the body from the soul, which is death. Let's go back again. What was God's original plan for the human race? Is our faith. God's original plan for the human race was that our first parents they were to have remained faithful to God. They were warned. If you do not obey my commandments, this is God speaking, you shall die. Bodily death is a result of sin. Why then do we die? Because we're sinners. I liked one of the questions raised, one of our question periods. Are you saying, Father, that little baby is a sinner, but could never have consciously or deliberately offended God? Well, my dear, I would like to find some other word, but I have to say that we are sinners. From the moment of conception. Why? Because although we have not individually committed that mortal sin, which brought on original sin to the world, and as a consequence, death, So why do we die? Because, besides, coming into this world minus sanctifying grace, we also enter the world minus the gift of bodily immortality that our first parents did have, and we would have had they not sinned. Why do we die? Because we're sinners, and death is a consequence of sin. Having said that, now for just a few minutes, we ask ourselves, in the light of what we're talking about, why do we die? We die because, from the dawn of human history, human beings have sinned. And the punishment which God threatened already to our first parents if they sinned is a punishment which is then visited not only on our first forebears who sinned, but since they sinned, every human being from the moment of conception. I like the phrase of St. Augustine. What shall I call man's life on earth? Is it a living death or a dying life? Make your choice. The moment we are conceived, we begin to die. Why? Because the moment we're conceived in sin. We go on. If death then is the consequence of sin having entered the world, we who were destined by God originally to have been, watch this, not only immortal in soul, in God's original plan for the human race, we were to have been immortal also in body. Well, clearly, none of us is now immortal in body. Question, are all of us immortal in soul? Yes. Now back to Christ. Before we finish, number three, why do we die? Christ, our Lord, the Son of the living God, chose to become man in order that he might be able to die. Never let go of that. God became man in order that he, who is the eternal God, might, by taking on our mortal humanity, might have that body and soul separate, and he might die. Why do we die? Because we are sinners. Why did Christ die? Because he was a sinner? No. Hear it. This is our faith. That by taking on our human mortality, he might regain for us what we had lost by our offending God. Bodily death is the consequence of the soul's dying by rejecting God. There would have been no bodily death had there been no spiritual death going back to our first parents. Death of the body is punishment for the self-inflicted suicide of the soul by sin. back to our previous question. Why then did God become man? That he might be able to die. Why did he want to die? So that by his voluntary death on the cross, he might expiate by his bodily death to restore our life of the soul. Again, it's our faith. Had Christ died, pardon me, had Christ not died on the cross, none of us could hope to see the face of God. We've just quoted St. Paul, sin entered the world through one man, and through sin death, just for the record. Who committed the first sin? Adam or Eve? Who? Eve. Remember that. And how did Eve come to sin? Who tempted her? The devil. The devil had his eye on Adam. He used Eve to get Adam to sin. I watch my audience when I say this. And the devil has been using that formula, pardon me, ever since. It works. Oh, the power of women over men. Either for evil or for good. Death of the body, then, as a result of the death of the soul, separation of the soul from God by sin brought about the separation of the body from the soul, which is death. Are you saying then that the soul has a principle of life? Sure. I keep repeating, that's PLE, principle. The principle of life for the soul is sanctifying grace. There's only one ambition we should have during our stay on earth. Only one. And that is, and when our body dies, naturally, our souls may be alive supernaturally. St. John, the evangelist, the great inspired writer on life and death, he keeps repeating that there is a life of the body and there's a life of the soul. As there is a death of the body and a death of the soul. But let's make sure we got this clear. When our body dies, if our soul is not alive with the grace of God, That's it. The soul will remain dead, so faith teaches us, for all eternity. Notice, dead, not by losing its capacity for knowledge. No annihilation. No death of the soul through the loss of the free will. Oh, it says. St. John calls it the second death. This is what we must all dreadfully fear. This is the seventh, last, and crowning gift of the Holy Spirit. Who knows? The?
Fear of
Fear of. There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pardon me. I just feel like a pedagogue. The first gift of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. The second gift of the Holy Spirit is understanding. The third gift of the Holy Spirit is knowledge. The fourth gift of the Holy Spirit is counsel. First four have to do with the mind. The fifth gift of the Holy Spirit is fortitude. The sixth gift of the Holy Spirit is piety. And the seventh gift of the Holy Spirit, the Latin is timor domini, the fear of the Lord. Did you see that in the first place? I should have had this on. The fear of the Lord. The fear of losing the Lord for all eternity by dying in body while our soul is without sanctifying grace. Now what I mainly want to share with you, having covered the previous three elements, how can we profit from death? Always, in the light of the crucifix. Oh, I feel I can talk. Crucifix is here. Our Lord is here. In other words, there was such a thing as making a virtue of necessity. You've got no choice. We have to die. So do we just say, well, I guess I have to die, so, well, I'm going to die. Don't be stupid. There is great value in death. Did we begin this retreat by saying that everything in our lives is a grace from God? Father, you've had a hard... How many days? 2.5 days we've been at it now? You're probably tired. Are you saying that death is a grace? Yes. And sure, we're going to die only once, physically. But there's such a thing as dying spiritually. Many times. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't tell people that Father Hardin said we should be constantly thinking about death. No. There are so many occasions, and of course I'm taking the occasion to remind you of death. When I entered the Society of Jesus as a novice, we were given our first chance to give a sermon. And the other novices, part of their mortification, have to listen. I still can't believe it, but it makes sense. My first sermon was on this text from the Old Testament. Remember thy last stand, and thou shalt never sin. And I wasn't being pious. I was just realistic. Now, how are we to profit from death? I have 9 ways. It begins by, well, or with the word by. How can we profit from this wonderful grace of death? First, by anticipation, accepting death as part of God's mysterious will. And then after each of these buys, I have, well, the expression of a virtue, which this is, we have to somehow put into practice. The first virtue that we should cultivate and develop, accepting death as part of God's mysterious will, is adoration. Adoring God. The hardest act of adoration you'll be called upon to make is submitting our wills. Nobody can say, I'm supposed to die, eh? Well, Lord, sorry. I won't die. And the Lord smiles. If adoration is submission of the created will to the divine will, my friends, this submission they should make not only a moment before we call into eternity. This is a grace that we should profit from all through our bodily life on earth. Why not? Let's capitalize. We've got high investment. Number two. How can we profit from death? By not resisting the prospect of death. By not resisting the prospect of death. I think I may have told you I started counting, finally, the number of hospitalizations I've had as a member of the Society of Jesus. I first in the novitiate, major surgery, and then altogether 21. Oh, this number, two. I can be very autobiographical. Not resisting the prospect of death. In other words, resigning oneself. And here it is, the virtue of humility. And just for the record, etymologically, the noun humility in English comes from the Latin humilitas. And humilitas comes from the Latin humus, spelled H-U-M-U-S. Spring is still some distance away. What is humus? Good black dirt. How can we profit from the anticipation of death? Our humility. And this, my friends, is no figure of speech. Talk about humility. They become part of the humus into which we are buried. That's pretty low down humility. Oh, the mad stupidity of human pride. Death, as we know, awaits all of us. The humility of knowing when you pass a cemetery. Yep. Others will pass a cemetery in which you have become part of the humus into which you are buried. We need that. We need that to control our inveterate pride. Third, how can we profit from death? By accepting death. Years before we die, as expiation for our own sins and the sins of the whole world. And the virtue there that we are to practice is the virtue of reparation. You may remember the life of Thomas More when he was imprisoned in the Tower. And one of his Episcopal friends came to visit him and said, "Thomas, don't be silly. Why don't you just accept the king's decision? And you won't be rotting in this stinking jail." Said Thomas More, the layman, to his Episcopal friend, "Look, the only difference between you and me is that I'm going to die sooner than you. That's all." Oh, what realism. What realism. The prospect, note the word, the prospect of death provides us with for making reparation. We know we've sinned, we know others have sinned. Knowing we're going to die, why not? Well, cash in and profit from that certain to come death years before it actually takes place. We've got investment. Number four. How can we profit from death? By seeing death as the end of our probation, with no more chance of losing the friendship of God. As long as we're here in this life, we can always sin, and even sin gravely. And what does this fourth way in which we can profit from the anticipation of our death, what does it give us? The prospect of liberation. As long as we're in this world, we are under constant siege. Siege from the world, siege from ourselves, siege from the devil. When we, as we casually say, die, you'll be liberated. The prospect of death should give us freedom. Number five. How can we profit from our death? Always in the light of Christ's death on the cross. All that we are saying would be just so much verbiage unless God had become man to die. Die for us and thus elevate our death to a sublime level he would never have had. 5. My seeing and death, the emptiness of everything in this world, except to live in God's friendship and to die in His grace. How can we profit from death long before we actually die? My seeing the emptiness of everything in this world. There's going to be a last meal we're going to eat. Did you know that? The last conversation we're going to hold. The last book we'll read. Shall I see the last television program we're going to view? This, by the way, did you know? This is why God, oh, the all-wise God, why He has us, do you know, go to sleep every night? There should be a daily reminder. Shall I call it a nightly reminder? How empty. How futile. How infantile everything in this world is. In contrast to the one thing we must make sure that during this life we're in God's friendship, and when He calls us, we are in His grace. And this, in terms of virtue to be practiced, detachment. Some people's wills are attached to this world. Well, with the United States, 39-cent paste, no strong attachment. Others, well, with glue. But as you know, there are adhesives. I've got a bottle called Iron Glue. Our wills can be attached to the things of this world with iron glue. And all the solvents you've got to use to dissolve that adhesive. Am I making sense? The strongest solvent that I know for our natural attachment to this world is the clear anticipation that we're going to die and we're going to leave everything and everyone behind. So detachment, that's number 5. Got 4 more to go. Number 6. We are asking, how can we profit from our death in the light of Christ's death on Calvary? By uniting ourselves with His death on the cross and offering ourselves with Him for the salvation of souls. And we repeat, how can we profit from our certain death to come by uniting ourselves with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and offering ourselves with Him for the salvation of souls?